a story, a sacred story of our tradition. From Luke's community. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. So in my hometown of Boulder, I go to one of those hardware stores that welcomes dogs. Do they have one of those up here? I bet. Probably more than one if they're smart. Well, last week that occasioned a sweet moment for me as I encountered a St. Bernard dog, like the one I grew up with. So I had a chance to meet with Bear, I believe his name was. What a wonderful connection, just like the connection when I was a boy. You know, mostly our pets and animal companions with whom we can connect are mammals. This makes all the difference. At least according to three researchers, Thomas Lewis, Fari Amini, and Richard Lannan, psychiatry professors at the University of California, San Francisco, who wrote a book some years ago, A General Theory of Love. And in their book, these researchers of the brain focus on the amazing evolution of the limbic brain, one of the three sections of the human brain. You know, on the bottom in the core, we have that reptilian brain. Then the next layer up, the limbic, and on the top, the neocortex, which we're so fond of praising, that thinking brain. We have the largest found in the animal kingdom, the largest neocortex. We have an entire institution nearby dedicated to the life of the neocortex. Humbling to remember that the most numerous creatures on earth, bacteria, do not even have a brain nor need one. We humans share our limbic brain with all mammals. We are one. It's interesting to note that because of that, or at least aspects of it, all mammals communicate vocally with their offspring. So it's the limbic brain that gives us the capacity to sing. Only mammals play with one another, like that dog who does not want the shoe, but to play with the other person on the other end of the shoe. And we think because of this brain, all human facial expression looks the same, representing the same emotions around the world. It is that limbic brain that mediates emotions and emotional connection. This is the part of our brains that seems to have the power to connect us compassionately with other humans, with other life forms, with all of life itself. I share with you a story of connection. Helen Keller was born in June of 1880, and she lost two channels of connection, we might say, her sight and hearing, after a bout of illness when she was just 19 months old. She then communicated primarily using home signs until she met, at the age of 7, her first teacher and lifelong companion, Ann Sullivan. Helen later shared a story about connection and love involving her teacher, Annie Sullivan. She said, "I remember the morning that I first asked the meaning of the word love. This was before I knew many words. I had found a few early violets in the garden and brought them to my teacher. And she tried to kiss me, but at that time I did not like to have anyone kiss me except my mother. Miss Sullivan put her arm gently round me and spelled into my hand, "I love Helen." "What is love?" I asked. After a few failed attempts between the two to communicate the meaning, Helen said, "The sun had been under a cloud all day, and there had been brief showers, but suddenly the sun broke forth in all its southern splendor. Again, I asked my teacher, is this not love?" "Love is something like the clouds that were in the sky before the sun came out," my teacher replied. Then in simpler words than these, which at that time I could not have understood, she explained, "You cannot touch the clouds, you know. But you feel the rain and know how glad the flowers and the thirsty earth are to have it after a hot day. You cannot touch love either, but you feel the sweetness that it pours into everything. Without love, you would not be happy or want to play." The beautiful truth burst upon my mind. I felt that there were invisible lines stretched between my spirit and the spirits of others. Beautiful story. Appropriate for this last Sunday of Advent, where we uplift the theme of love as we light the fourth candle. In the great spiritual traditions, including ours, we are called to love. Like Helen Keller, we ask then and strive to know what that means. Helen described it as invisible lines stretched between my spirit and the spirit of others. This is love as connection. The science of the limbic brain indicates connection as fundamental for mammals. That means it's fundamental for you and me. But what kind of connection? And is all love, is all connection loving? So any practicing psychotherapist will know the fundamental importance of child and caretaker bonding and the attachment patterns that are learned early on in our lives. If you're into that world, you would even have labels for different styles. You might call them anxious, avoidant, disorganized, secure. But the point this morning is that none of us are perfect, and none of us even fit these categories in some sort of simple, all-the-time way. Going further into that, that's an inquiry, a worthy one, but for another time. This morning, it's important to think of love as connection. See where that leads us. My mentors and teachers taught me that all this, all of these connecting ways are love. But some of these ways of loving are more painful, have a high cost, and are not really very redemptive. We can have compassion for ourselves in this and compassion for others. That is, that we are all about connecting for love even when we lack the grace in doing so, or when our ways of connecting are costly for us and others. We are all human mammals trying to get our needs for connection met. We have an important teaching about love that is in our sacred story that we just heard this morning. It's hidden in plain sight. It requires us to have a little knowledge of Hebrew and Jewish and the Jewish lineage out of which Jesus and the stories around Jesus come. So let's go back to that reading. In today's reading, we heard a story of Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth greeting Mary, Elizabeth's womb connecting to Mary's womb. Did you hear that? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth said, "The child in my womb leapt for joy." So Elizabeth feels the joyful response of faith in her body, in her womb. Her body knows what's true. The key here is that in Hebrew, the noun chamim in its singular form means womb, but in its plural form means compassion, mercy, love. It's a wordplay. While these stories weren't recorded in Hebrew language, they do emerge from Judaism and a Hebrew mindset. So imagine if we tuned into that as we heard that story. We heard the wordplay. We felt the wordplay. Elizabeth's seat of compassion connecting with Mary's seat of compassion. The presence of the divine indeed will be incarnated through the human womb from which we have all come. And its nature will be compassion, love. This is the deeply feminine side of the divine, quietly yet profoundly being expressed, coming through in our sacred story. Luke's community then proceeds to tell us stories of Jesus throughout this gospel that point us to compassion as the divine way of loving connection. Jesus is said to have looked upon the crowds and upon people and had compassion for them. What if we heard that in the Hebrew way, feeling it in his body? You know, compassion in its English and Latin roots literally means suffering with, being with another person, being with the earth even. It's in the body. It's incarnated. It's felt at that level of reality. It's not necessarily about the neocortex. It's about another part of us. That's where compassionate love comes from. Dame Julian of Norwich was a 14th century English mystic, deeply influenced in the Celtic Christian way. She said simply, God is our mother as truly as God is our father. In the words of one who studied her, J. Philip Newell, she teaches that we come from the womb of the eternal. We are not simply made by God, we are made of God. What if we all live that way? What if we all saw that in each other? What if we knew that about ourselves? I have a hunch that the lack of this lesson, of this deep imprint in our deep selves, is a big part of why many of our love connection patterns are costly and painful. Without this deep imprint of the womb of God, this conscious realization of faith, we will find it difficult to realize the fullness of compassionate love. So today is December 19th, this fourth Sunday of Advent. Solstice is very near, the longest night of the year. That's why we'll have the longest night service tonight. It's a dark time in our hemisphere, the darkest. Using the darkness metaphor in a negative sense, we might imagine what some say, it's so dark in the situation for our earth. Some say that's the situation of our democracy. Maybe that's what it feels like is happening in your life right now. Maybe that's not what is happening in your life, but you've been there. Indeed, a dark time in our hemisphere, the darkest. But if we use that darkness, that metaphor, at least in a positive sense, we could also imagine that this is a time for reflection. It's an opportunity for renewal, a time to be held in the womb of God, to gestate in preparation for a new birth of spirit and soul, maybe a new birth in compassionate love. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, let us all pray for this kind of love, that love from the womb, whether you have one in your body or not, it's still possible for all of us to touch into that, to touch into the womb of the eternal that brings compassionate love and connection. For this is the kind of love that brings light amidst darkness. It is this love that leads to commitment, to life, to each other, to creation, to God's realm. This kind of divine love changes lives and society. This kind of love cannot be overcome by the darkness, no matter how deep or how long. Amen.